Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
Talking shop with the NFL's best and brightest all year long. It's time for the Buck Rising Show on 104.5 The Zone.
You ready, mate?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to
Second down on this Wednesday. Welcome in. Lovely to have you guys here. Whether you're hanging out with us on FM radio, Zone TV, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, you can live stream the show. Or the 104.5 The Zone app, we're happy to have you. Dumbest thing in sports this week is what we are getting ready to do, so give me your nominations, 615-737-1045. We will get to them momentarily. We are also going to get into some more stuff about Caleb Farley and what we make of him heading into another season, his third on the Tennessee Titans roster. But there will be time for that. Meanwhile, Bud, go ahead and give me the music.
Let's be honest. You've already seen something this week that made you say,
"What the f*** is this?"
That's bullshit.
What the hell? Give me some more now.
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
You know the number? Call in with your dumbest thing in sports this week. 615-737-1045. I'm going to get us started. So, there's a story going around. It's a slow news time, right? A couple of days ago, I believe it was Sunday night. On ESPN.com, one of the main headlines, free agent running back. It's funny to think Le'Veon Bell is still technically not retired from the NFL. He's not that old. But either way, Le'Veon Bell, he's still out here. He's a free agent. And the headline says, Le'Veon Bell says he smoked marijuana before games. So he did an appearance on the Steel Here, S-T-E-E-L, Steel Here podcast, which is focusing on apparently the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell famously from 2013 to 2017 sat out the 2018 season and then ended up with the Jets. Quote, looking back on this, that's what I did when I was playing football. I smoked, bro. Even before the games, I'd smoke. I'd go out there and run for 152 touchdowns. You know, there's some more comments and all these different things. Dumbest thing, you know, he's only 31, by the way. Doesn't it feel like Le'Veon Bell should be like 35?
It feels like he's been out of the league for, I don't know, 2-3 years now.
I mean, that last Jet season was a while ago. I guess he was a Chief or a Raven. He was a Raven pretty recently, I want to say. Either way, dumbest thing in sports this week is people who still care about this. Spoiler alert, breaking news, a lot of athletes smoke. A lot of people smoke. I know it's not legal in the state where we currently broadcast from, but like whether it's smoking, whether it's edibles, whatever the case may be, especially in the pain tolerance industry, I am more surprised by people who don't incorporate some kind of THC in as a professional athlete. I'm more surprised by people who don't incorporate THC into a part of their weekly pain management process than I am the guys who don't do it. So whether that's before games, after games, yeah, I mean, if you're in that league that Johnny Manziel was in recently, it's at halftime or after you score a touchdown. Remember that? The dude whipped out a joint on the sideline, just ripping it. The dumbest thing in sports this week is people who still make this a story. The stigma around marijuana is non-existent at this stage. You know, people are more interested. I think people are trying to now stigmatize things like mushroom chocolate bars and things like that in states like Oregon and Washington. It's just not that deep. Relax. Literally. What you got?
My dumbest thing in sports this week, I'll keep it in Destin, but my dumbest thing in sports is me, because context matters. Yesterday, my oh no of the weekend was Eli Drinkwitz with the one cherry-picked quote that Drinkwitz said when speaking to media down in Destin about NIL, when he said, you know, we're giving these kids life-changing money. People are making more money in NIL than my brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician. He saves lives. And we sat here and we roasted Eli Drinkwitz. We said, well, coach, you're a football coach. You're making $6 million a year. Do you save lives? Why are you complaining about kids saving lives? The kids that make it possible for you to make millions of dollars per year. But now, Eli Drinkwitz, after getting a ton of backlash, tweeted the full context of the question and answer from yesterday, where he said, I am in no way complaining about player compensation. I'm fully supportive and always have been. So the question was, it's interesting because the question wasn't even about NIL, but the question from the reporter was, when you see issues with gambling arising, what's your approach with your team about that issue? Is there an element of surprise or is that inevitable? And Drinkwitz said, and y'all are really trying to get me in trouble here. He said, Deion Sanders had a really good quote the other day talking about young men are joining a business, but we want to treat them like kids. We're giving guys, 18, 19, 22-year-olds, life-changing money. People are making more in NIL than my brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician, who saves lives. And we kind of do it cavalier, and we think there's not going to be any side effect. There's not going to be any issues. There's information out there. There's bad actors always trying to make a dollar. I think it's going to become one of the key issues that we face in our locker rooms. I think it's more prevalent because there's more money involved. Everyone's trying to make a dollar. These young men are getting a lot of money that is a lot right now, other than trying to hand out advice and provide some parameters to it. You know, with this NIL situation, we've created our own problems in college sports. So I am the dumbest thing in sports this week because that quote makes a lot more sense when Eli Drinkwitz is talking about the responsibilities that come with an 18-year-old making more money than somebody who saves lives and how there are no guardrails around it and the bad actors that could come into the picture. So I apologize, Eli Drinkwitz, for roasting you on these airwaves yesterday when I saw a cherry-picked quote that had no other context.
It's how he looks, isn't it? That makes you want to take a shot at Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh,
it's
just,
his face. It's for sure his face.
Yeah, like it's that.
It's
like
the hair, it's the glasses, it's the whole thing.
That like Bill Gates sort of look. I don't know. I don't mind Eli Drinkwitz. A lot of people are annoyed with him because he likes to talk and he makes jokes and he hasn't done that. Like he's kind of taken that Steve Spurrier role of like taking funny little jabs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Spurrier was good.
Right, but he's not. He doesn't win championships like Spurrier.
He doesn't have winning seasons.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have a winning record.
Yeah, that's why I think people get annoyed with Drinkwitz. But I don't know. I have no reason to hate Eli Drinkwitz. Like he has done nothing to me. Tell me what reason I would have. You seem skeptical. What reason should I have to hate Eli Drinkwitz?
You're a homer.
Why do I hate Mizzou? Why should I hate Mizzou?
SEC East.
SEC East.
No, not really, but
yeah, they came into the East in 2012. I don't know. I got nothing against Eli Drinkwitz.
615-737-1045. That was big of you to apologize. Well done. Peyton in Hendersonville has the dumbest thing in sports this week. Go ahead, Peyton.
How are you doing, Buck?
Great.
So,
nope.
Today, and go. Ran across something. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry about that. That's our fault, Peyton.
No, you're okay. The L.A. Dodgers, I don't know when the game is, but it's coming up here soon. And they're openly going to honor a trans LGBTQ plus community or group before one of their games or at a halftime show. Well, that same group that they're honoring has made very discriminating and horrible comments about the Jewish community. And I think it's wrong. And Clayton Kershaw said, which is obviously, I don't think I'm wrong for saying this, but he's probably top three pitcher that's ever came across the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He said he doesn't support it. Like, how do you think he feels? And if I'm him in the next game that I play, I'm throwing strikes right down the middle, and I'm hoping that they slam him out of the park. That's my dumbest thing in sports is L.A. Dodgers.
Thanks for the call, Peyton. So I'm looking at the AP headline right now, specifically to Clayton Kershaw. So what Clayton Kershaw is disagreeing with, the LA Dodgers are welcoming a satirical LGBTQ plus group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence at the team's annual Pride Night, right? June is Pride Month coming up. So, you've got Kershaw telling the LA Times on Monday that the team's decision to honor the group after it rescinded its original invitation. Oh, that's interesting. So they invited them, rescinded the invitation, then invited them again. Oh, see, this sounds more like mismanagement than the fault of Clayton Kershaw or the LGBTQ plus group that they invited. So the original invitation prompted him to approach the Dodgers about expediting the announcement that the team was bringing back Christian Faith and Family Day later this season. So he's saying, I think we were always going to do Christian Faith Day this year, but I think the timing of our announcement was sped up, picking a date and going those different things was part of it as well. Yes, it was in response to the highlighting of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence by the Dodgers. So I don't know anything about the group. I don't want to speak out of turn on the group that they've invited for Pride Night. He also added that he will not boycott Pride Night on June 16th when the Dodgers host the Giants. I mean, he's saying it has nothing to do with the LGBTQ community or Pride or anything like that. This is simply a group that was making fun of a religion that I don't agree with. Okay, so it's not about them being a trans group. It's about them making fun of religion. And I assume in the name that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and, you know, where religious entities tend to fall on the side of Pride or LGBTQ plus, I would understand why somebody like Clayton Kershaw, who I assume is religious, would not be crazy about that idea. You know, maybe it's specific to the group because you know you're gonna run into this stuff anyway. And when you're involving not just the LGBTQ plus community as a part of Pride Month, which of course is completely fine. Nashville SC just did it in one of the best environments that I think that stadium has had all year, right, Lucas?
Yeah, maybe since it opened. I mean, it was electric.
So, like, that stuff doesn't matter to me, but for obvious reasons, because it shouldn't matter. But, you know, the idea that they are a mock religious organization is probably going to piss a lot more people off than the initial invitation situation. We'll continue with the dumbest thing in sports this week. Coming up next, your phone call, 615-737-1045. I thought I handled that pretty well for a pretty complex issue. You thought I was going to botch it, didn't you? Didn't you? You sitting there in your car, you thought I was going to screw that up. I'm Buck Rising.
Yes.
1045 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
We got calls on the dumbest thing in sports. We got a lot of different things to get into, including how the Titans might benefit from DeAndre Hopkins without actually signing him. That's something Lucas put in the grid this morning, and I am curious to hear his explanation on that part. I'm sure many of you are as well. 615-737-1045 is how you tell us what the dumbest thing in sports this week is. Let's go to Eric in Nashville. Up next, hey, Eric.
Yes. So last week, the Denver Nuggets complete a four-game sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers and sit their courtside to Kyrie Irving. He's hugging LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the guys before and after the game, hugging and shaking hands with other celebrities, and he's waving to the crowd as he's sitting courtside. Then after the game is over, the next day, he goes on social media and says, hey, quit speculating, talking about me, whether or not I'm going to stay with the Mavericks or going to the Lakers. Are you kidding me? What do you think the media is going to talk about if you're sitting courtside the game? If they don't want them talking about you, then keep a lower profile and not go to the games, or at least sit somewhere where nobody can see you. He is unbelievable. Guys, that's my dumbest thing in sports. Y'all take care, and we'll talk again soon.
It's a really good one. I feel like this should be the dumbest thing in the Kyrie Irving Memorial Dumbest Thing in Sports This Week segment. I feel like he's been so heavily featured in the 3 years that it's not quite 3 years, in the 2 years that we've had the radio show, that I feel like he has some grander part to play in this segment.
Do you watch South Park?
Yes.
I don't know if you had seen any of the new episodes where they make fun of Prince Harry and Meghan.
No.
Markle. And Prince Harry and Meghan did not like it. But basically, their characters, They based the Canadian prince and princess off of Harry and Meghan.
Sure.
Going on talk shows with like picket signs going, we want privacy. We want privacy. Like really upset that they're not getting their privacy and being very public about it and putting themselves in the public eye, demanding and being upset that they don't feel like that's Kyrie.
Oh my God.
Just constantly in the spotlight, constantly saying dumb things, trying to sound way smarter than everybody else, and then getting upset when we talk about
it. Well, I was just going to ask you, who likes to be talked about and then acts like they don't like to be talked about more than Kyrie Irving? Because the only nominee that I could come up with is the two that you just gave me, or Tom Brady. Tom Brady loves being talked about. Loves it. It's the only way that I know Tom Brady's a human, is that Tom Brady delights in how often Tom Brady's name is still thrown out there for things like this Raiders job. If somehow Jimmy Garoppolo at like 27 can't find a way to get out on the field. You know who can? 46-year-old Tom Brady. I'm ready. Let's ride. Oh my God. Brady might beat out Kyrie though. Maybe it's just such a smaller sample size from Brady though, because it just happened in the last couple of years where he seems to really, really enjoy how much he gets to be Tom Brady at this stage. Chris is in Gallatin with the dumbest thing in sports. Go ahead, Chris.
My dumbest thing in sports this week has got to be Scottie Pippen. On Friday, he went on a local Chicago radio program and was really bashing Michael Jordan, saying that once they started playing like a real team there in Chicago, everybody forgot about Michael Jordan. And he was saying LeBron's much better than Michael Jordan. But turns out, Michael Jordan's son is dating his ex-wife.
Yeah.
So he's just trying to get back at him. That's my dumbest thing in sports. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Do you have the clip of Scotty?
LeBron will be the greatest statistical guy to ever play the game of basketball. And there's no comparison to him. None. So does that make him the greatest player to ever play the game? I'll leave that out for debating, because I don't believe that there's a great player, because our game is a team game and one player can't do it. Like, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player. He was horrible to play with. He was all one-on-one. He's shooting bad shots. And all of a sudden, we become a team and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was.
Scotty. Like, there is all kinds of statistical evidence to back up his first point. Michael Jordan, the best version of Michael Jordan was with Scottie Pippen. The championship version of Jordan was with Scottie Pippen. Like, there is no disputing that. The best version of Michael Jordan was playing with Scottie Pippen. But then when Scottie takes it to the extreme and says he's a horrible player...
He was a horrible player.
He's a horrible, just says it casually.
Until I got there.
I mean, it is... Now, it's been reported that Scottie's ex-wife is in fact dating the son of Michael Jordan, which has to delight Michael Jordan in ways that you cannot describe.
Is there a more publicized partnership or teammates that achieve so much together that hate each other more than Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan seem to?
Oh man. Well, it's definitely gotten worse publicly since The Last Dance. Because I think Scottie very much did not appreciate the way that he was portrayed in the contract or sitting out situation. Yeah. He did not seem to appreciate that.
Like, what's the worst like rock band breakup of all time?
The Eagles. Don't the Eagles famous? I mean, the ones that are still alive, but like weren't when they were all still alive. Don't they famously hate each other?
You know, Eagles definitely up there. Yeah, but they, I think they've reconciled. They tour together, you know, Joe Walsh and Don Henley, and they tour with Glenn Frey's son. But yeah, I mean, that's up there for sure.
I can't think of one. I mean, Durant and Draymond didn't seem to like each other very much when they were winning championships with Golden State. But that's not to the extent of Jordan Pippen, not something that famous. I mean, there's not a... Is there a receiver that hates a particular quarterback that we're forgetting? Is there a coach or a player who famously resents a coach? I can't think of anything to that scale, or even even that gets close, other than like Antonio Brown and Tom Brady. But like I think Tom Brady would still be friends with Antonio Brown if he thought he could help him win another Super Bowl. You know? 615-737-1045 is how you nominate the dumbest thing in sports this week. It is weird to see how resentful Scottie Pippen is. And like Michael Jordan gets to win no matter what. Scottie's not going to be able to pull people to his side by being publicly bitter, right? That's not going to benefit anybody. That's not going to help Scottie's perception. People are just going to look at Scottie and say, you're ridiculous. What are you talking about? The greatest player of all time is a horrible player before you got there. And like, I do think that the Michael Jordan stuff, while he was clearly and obviously the best of his generation, like there is no disputing one of the winningest players in any area ever, right? Like nobody's fighting against that. Like there have definitely been better basketball players since Michael Jordan, just by nature of evolution. Kevin Durant is ungodly to watch when he's at his peak health. LeBron James, right? It's not ridiculous to say that there have been better basketball players than Michael Jordan while Michael Jordan was still the greatest player and greatest winner of his time. And Scottie, you know, I mean, it's a toxic situation, it would appear. And like not that this, any of this is my business, but I do think there has famously been some tension with his ex-wife and who she dates or who she has been seen with since their marriage ended. So I'm certain that does not factor in some way, shape, or form to Scottie's commentary. Just even if you're not thinking about it, even if it's just like inherent bias that you have at this point, it's human. But you know, to call Michael Jordan a horrible basketball player is kind of ridiculous. Joe in Lebanon is next. Hey, Joe.
George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin.
Ooh.
For a good love-hate relationship.
So is there anything else that like reaches that? I mean, because that's a really good one, Joe, but I don't know that that's talked about in the context of Pippen and Jordan. Would you say?
Well, I know Martin went out and talked about how he hated him and how he was a criminal, and Steinbrenner threw it right back at him. And I mean, I think it was a pretty serious one, but I'm a Yankees guy and I kept up with it, but I think that I think it's pretty good one. I mean, Pippen, I think, is just jealousy. I just think his is straight up jealousy of Jordan, and he doesn't want to admit that, but I think it's jealousy. How about when Pippen went to the Knicks? They do real well when he was there.
Yeah, there's plenty of things that are being thrown back in Scottie's face after that. He did it over Memorial Day weekend, though. He gave everybody something they could chew on. You thought you were getting away from the LeBron-Jordan debate? No. Scottie Pippen is here.
Puka on the F&M Bank chat says, when they played together, Shaq and Kobe, but they did reconcile.
Shaq and Kobe is a good one. And now that's obviously more recent than Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner. I think the last year of Billy Martin's career was like 1989. So that's obviously been some time ago. Shaq and Kobe is a really good one, where Kobe is out here publicly talking about how fat and lazy Shaq is, and Shaq is just to his core Shaquille O'Neal telling Kobe Bryant, hey, how's my bleep taste, right? That kind of thing. TN Berg says, why is the NBA so babyish? The NBA is for sure the most dramatic of the leagues, right? Of the American professional sports leagues. There is not anything that is more TMZ that dates, you know, that involves themselves more in like the celebrity element. James Harden at Fashion Week in Paris, right? How many name the basketball player that's dated a Kardashian, right? Like they do seem to entangle themselves more often, maybe just because there's less of them.
Yeah, I mean, no sport focuses on individuals more than the NBA, right? There's more emphasis put on the impact one single individual can have on a team. More
of the team sports.
Yeah, more so in the NBA than any other team sport. And it kind of trickles over.
The NBA is for sure the most individualized team sport of any of the... Because obviously, you know, tennis and the actual solo sports place the individual at a much higher level. But in terms of like the ecosystem of actual performance versus off the court dialogue. I do think the NBA literally leads the league. Drew is in Murfreesboro next. Hey, Drew.
Hey, I was going to say Juwan Jennings and Butch Jones.
Lucas, you want to speak to that one?
That it did end. It wasn't even Butch Jones, because Juwan Jennings got kicked off the team when, Brady Hoke. I was not going to let that name escape me. Brady Hoke was the interim. So Juwan obviously had his moments in the sun early in his Tennessee career, the Hail Mary against Georgia. I mean, just a week before that was the touchdown catch against Florida and that comeback win. And that was all his sophomore year. So he had already become kind of a cult hero for Tennessee. He's a dog, all of those things. And then at the end of the 2017 season, a very injury marred season for Juwan Jennings, he went on a rant on Instagram. He went on Instagram Live talking about his coaches and how they weren't going to let him play against Vanderbilt. And remember, this is a 4-8 at the time, 4-7 Tennessee team about to play Vanderbilt, worst Tennessee team in the history of Tennessee football. And Juwan wanted to play. He hadn't really played all year, and coaches weren't going to let him play. It was the interim staff with Brady Hoke leading. Butch had already been fired. So he went on an expletive-laced tirade on Instagram Live, trashing the coaches, trashing Vanderbilt, talking about how much he hates Vanderbilt. And Brady Hoke dismissed him from the team, and he was summarily reinstated when Jeremy Pruitt took over as head coach and had a big year in 2018.
Yeah, because he's the best wide receiver on the roster, you dopes. Figure out how to make it work. He was definitely talking about Butch on that video.
I mean, Brady Hoke was the one that kicked him off officially.
I'm recklessly speculating, but he's definitely talking about Butch in that video.
I cannot speak to Juwan and Butch's personal relationship.
But he's definitely talking about Butch. Kyle in Nashville is next.
Hey, I just wanted to add to the list. I would say Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, they had a pretty bad feud. And I think just recently, within the past couple of years, he was quoted saying that he would knock the lights out of T.O. if you ever saw him again. So, thank you, guys.
That's up there.
That's my quarterback. Which is, it's such a shame. Those Eagles teams were so much fun. And for those two to publicly hate each other the way that they do. Like, what was it maybe it's just our generational gap in terms of knowledge. What was it the source of the McNabb-T.O. feud? Like, why do they dislike each other? I'm sure it's been a great many reasons over time, but, like, what was the initial reason for the hate?
I cannot speak to that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
I mean, it's also about what was their relationship like before the split? Like, did Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, were they ever really, truly close friends? Like, confidants in one another?
No.
You know? Because, like, the Mythbusters just never liked each other. Mike and Mike, famously, never really got along.
And were great.
Did a fantastic show.
Like, I know that we're running this through our industry bias, but, like, to do that show for 4 hours at that time of day at, like, 4:30 a.m.
wake-up calls. The most popular show in sports radio.
And they did it in a way that was still so familial, and apparently they hated each other, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, so you have these partnerships where they never really liked each other.
Like you and me.
Exactly. I'm interested more in the ones that there something happened to create the divide. You know what I mean? I don't know if Pippen and Jordan were ever that tight to begin with. I don't know.
Oh, Russell says Terrell Owens blamed the Super Bowl loss on McNabb being hungover during the game.
Did he really?
I never saw that story. Verify, but that is hilarious if that's true. Unbelievable. People are citing a bunch of different reasons for the feud. Anyway, 615-737-1045. The Preds fired a coach yesterday and then summarily hired a coach. We're going to talk about the impact of that. You'll hear from Alex Doherty of, no longer of A to Z Sports. Alex started his own network or his own website. Good on him. Anyway, Alex Doherty, Preds writer, will tell you what this means for the Preds offseason coming up next.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Items to get to. It broke yesterday that the Preds were moving on from John Hines. They have since made their new head coach official in Andrew Burnett. But before we get to the Preds and some audio from Alex Doherty yesterday on the Blaine and Mickey show. So he bought Penalty Box Radio. Alex did. Is it still called Penalty Box Radio?
Believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, good on Alex. Congratulations to him. Quick note from the world of the Tennessee Vols, the basket Vols, that is specifically. We have a returnee.
That's right, another returnee. A few weeks ago was Santiago Vescovi announcing he's running it back for one more year, and now Josiah Jordan James announcing on social media just minutes ago that he's going to run it back one more year. He posted the Kobe Bryant "Job's Not Done" clip on his Twitter account.
Yeah, so the official website for the team has put an article up based on that. And we know that Josiah Jordan James coming back for his fifth season is going to be a big part of what this team wants to do. It's going to contribute to the depth. Obviously, he was only available for, what, 24 games last season?
Yeah, he was really marred by injuries in the first half of the year, picked up a knee injury early, but largely in the back half and the most critical part of the season, he was available.
Right. And still, you know, fourth leading scorer, 10 points per game. He was the third leading rebounder on the team, 4.7. And so what you continue to retain is postseason experience, championship experience, if you want to talk about the SEC title, SEC tournament title from a couple of years ago. And so obviously, what they're going to focus on, in addition to what do you got? Jonas Adu, you got Jermaine Mashak. Is it Toby? Am I going to butcher his last name?
Toby Awaka.
I just get scared of those. There's a lot of international players on the roster. They do have great depth, and you know, I think it's this COVID eligibility situation benefits teams, veteran teams like the University of Tennessee, because you can basically run it back. Now, your boy Yurosh, not coming back, announced that he was not returning to the University of Tennessee for another season, which I think everybody can kind of, you know, good to part under those terms, because it felt like, people were growing tiresome of Yurosh's personality. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, antics. You know,
is a better way to put it. Not personality.
And Urosh really did develop nicely at Tennessee. You know, that he came over from Arizona State, and there was a big stink made about the fact that he wasn't eligible, and they appealed to the NCAA, and it took forever, and then he became eligible, and he wasn't as good as everybody thought he was just because he was a 7-foot big man. But he did improve a lot, and he made some big impacts. He was really good. I mean, he was as important as anybody in setting the tone in that Duke game in the round of 32, and he had some big games. But yes, the Urosh Plavsic era is over at Tennessee. Olivier Kumwa likely moving on. He has all the options on the table. He's in the portal. He's testing NBA draft waters. He has even coming back open as a possibility. And it seems like the Julian Phillips time at Tennessee will come to an end, mm-hmm. as he has both entered the portal and is testing NBA draft waters. So they'll be deep. They'll be very deep. They added in the portal, and it's going to be a lot of moving parts for Rick Barnes.
So transitioning from Vols to Preds, the news broke yesterday that the Preds are making that change. John Hines replaced by Andrew Burnett. And, you know, Preds ties, you got them. Trotz and Burnett now. Poyle still looming or lurking, however you want to phrase it.
He'll be there today.
He's still in the front office. And today, by what today, Lucas, means is that they will have the announcement press conference for Andrew Burnett today at what time?
1 p.m.
Okay, so Blaine and Mickey, I'm sure, will have some updates.
We'll monitor it.
I know they'll carry Mike Vrabel's press conference live in the 2 o'clock hour, so a lot of coaches talking on Blaine and Mickey today. But I thought Alex Doherty did a good interview yesterday, speaking of Blaine and Mickey. He was on with them. You can check out that full interview in their podcast. And he was talking about, you know, this the entirety of the Preds offseason and what changes like this mean for guys who are still on the roster.
Everything is on the table at this point for the Nashville Predators. If he made a change at head coach, we are about to witness a offseason for the ages, because I mean, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, Philip Forsberg, you know, all these guys, Brian McDonough, probably not Roman Josi, but UC Soros, all of these names. I mean, there's no one that's untouchable now. I mean, if you're making these kind of changes, you are ready to re-gear and just completely retool everything, especially someone like a Ryan Johansson, who already seems kind of halfway out, halfway in. And, you know, there's changes there. But does it change the expectations? I don't even know. I mean, I think that we have to see what's going to happen next, because we would have to see what's going to happen with the draft, what's going to happen with trades, free agency, which of these unrestricted free agents out there are they going to go after to really make that determination? Because I think they view Brunette as not just a win of the future, like a kind of long-term kind of hire, but like a win now guy. I mean,
so that's Alex Doherty on Blaine and Mickey yesterday. No one's safe is apparently the message. And I mean, is there anybody that should be off limits, right? Are we not having the same conversation around the Preds that we are currently around the Titans? I you probably heard me kind of snort in the middle of that when he said retool, rebuild, because he's doing the same R word bit that we've been doing all offseason. Apparently the Preds, new general manager, Titans, new general manager, Preds, new head coach, Titans, same head coach, but similar situations, I suppose. Is there anybody who is untradeable or unmovable, not just because maybe it's in their contract, but because they are so valuable to this franchise? Because Forsberg is the thing that comes to mind to me, but maybe I'm just doing that because I know him to be great over the course of his time here, even though that has not felt as tangible in the last couple of years. And again, health situations notwithstanding.
Well, I think Roman Josi is the most critical cultural piece of that roster right now. So, and Alex mentioned it kind of in passing. Yeah, probably not Roman Josi, as he was listing all the players that could be on the block. But the point is, it's all an unknown. That everything is off the table as far as what we knew about the Preds under David Poile, under John Hines, new coach, Barry Trotz, new GM. David Poile appears to still have a say. He'll be at the presser today, like we said. But if it is going to be Andrew Brunette's show, then yeah, you should expect some big changes. I think it's a good hire by the Preds. I mean, I think he's a really highly thought of guy. If you're going to get someone who has not been a head coach, which he has, who was in the interim for the entire season for the Florida Panthers last year, was hired in October when the current head coach had stepped down. They brought him on late October. So he essentially coached that whole season, led him to a President's Trophy. They get swept in the second round of the playoffs, and they opt not to keep Brunette. They tried to keep him on the staff, just not as head coach. He left, took an assistant position with the New Jersey Devils. So he's going to have the familiarity with Barry Trotz, with the market, with the franchise. Preds fans will know him, especially the ones that have been around since the start. So it's got that storybook aspect. And I do, and he is an up-and-coming guy in the business in the NHL. So it's a really intriguing hire that will be made more intriguing when we really see what the Preds are going to do with this roster this offseason.
Hines was 134-96-18 with the Preds. This is the statement from Barry Trotz yesterday. We want to become more of an offensive team. And Andrew, talking about Andrew Brunette, specializes on that side of the ice. He lived it as a player, and he coaches it as a coach. He is as good of an offensive teacher and power play coach as there is in the game today, which, for those of you who have been paying attention to the Preds in the last couple of years, you know how critical it is for them to be much better, much improved on the power play. Feels like consistently since Laviolette, we've been talking about power play issues. He will be a great with our young players, and I know because of his background as a player, he will connect well with our top skilled players. So that's Barry Trotz in a statement yesterday. Titans assistant coaches are speaking right now. The new defensive backs coach, Chris Harris, just spoke on Caleb Farley and his status with this team's secondary. We're going to talk about what Caleb Farley needs to prove the most this offseason. You'll hear from Chris Harris, his new DBs coach, coming up next.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.